Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We give all praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Send blessings and salutations to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, this is the first episode. It's something new that I started on my own this year. And this is the first episode of the Halal Sports Report. You know, this is something I wanted to do. Those that know me and know me well have known since this past Ramadan, which was very beneficial for me. Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. You know, I'm back and focused and on my deen like I've always should have been. And, you know, I give all praise due to Allah for this past Ramadan because I'm back and focused. I'm still doing my sports radio thing. I am, if you don't know, the sports radio director at FantasySportsWarehouse.com, Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network, alhamdulillah. And, you know, I got all that going on, and I'm still hosting Sports Trap Radio with my boy Ant Green. And we're moving from Tuesdays, Friday nights, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Inshallah, we'll be hosting Sports Trap Radio on a weekly basis. But, you know, once a week, I wanted to host this show, the Halal Sports Report, because everything in my life now is based upon submitting to the will of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, everything in my life that I try to do on a daily basis is halal. So, you know, this show, I'm still me. I'm still the passionate sports writer. I'm still the passionate sports radio host that I've always been. But, you know, there won't be any more gambling picks given out on any of my shows or on Twitter or on Facebook or anything like that. No more football pools. No more fancy football leagues for money. I told people flat out, and I've been telling them for the last month, if you're asking me for picks, I'm not giving out picks to people that's trying to win money because it's haram. In Islam, haram means it's not permissible. It's prohibited. So everything I do now based upon this sports radio career, Allah comes first. Everything I do now is going to be halal, and I'm no more gambling. In the past, for years, on my radio shows, I played music during the breaks. No more music. Music is haram in Islam. So everything I do now is halal, alhamdulillah. And that's the reason why this show right here is called the Halal Sports Report. On a weekly basis, especially now with it being football season, I'm going to come to you on a weekly basis. I'm going to talk about the local Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going to talk about the NFL. I'm going to talk about college football. I'm going to talk about whatever is going on in the sports world. And I also may touch on other subjects, which is very important. And I will give my opinion on things based upon Islam and the Quran and the Hadiths, the Sunnah, you know, what's permissible. And, you know, some people may get offended, some may not. Since I've rededicated myself to Islam, since I've gotten back on my deen, a lot of people that consider themselves my friends have stepped off and, you know, have talked about me, and other people have told me, and look, that comes with the territory. I serve one person and one person alone, and that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the end of the day, Allah is going to grant me Jannah or Jahannam. You know, I'll be judged at the end of the day by Allah. My record will either be in my right hand or it's going to be in my left hand. So what anybody else has to say about me, I really honestly don't care. I don't care. With that being said, this is the Halal Sports Report 2015 NFL season preview show. Over the past week, I went through all the NFL schedules. I watched all the preseason games right here in my beautiful living room on my 65-inch TV, alhamdulillah. And, you know, based upon what I've seen in the preseason, based upon what I know about the players on everybody's roster, I went through everybody's schedule, did wins and losses. I picked who I feel as though was going to be the division winners, who I feel as though was going to make the playoffs, and who I feel as though will represent each conference in the Super Bowl, that being AFC and NFC. Now, I got my notes right here to my left. If y'all see me looking off to the side, that's because I have notes and everything right here. Y'all may see papers and, you know, I got composition books. I got notebooks and everything with all types of notes and stuff that I took. With that being said, we're going to start in the NFC East. In the NFC East, in my opinion, the clear-cut best team in the NFC East is your Philadelphia Eagles. And I'm not just saying that because I'm from Philadelphia and I grew up a Eagles fan. I tell people all the time, I'm not a fan of any team anymore. Who wins and loses, it does nothing for me. I don't care, because at the end of the day, I'm here to do a job. And I do that job unbiasedly. I've been very critical of Chip Kelly in the past. I've been critical of Andy Reid, going back to Rich Kotite, Ray Rhodes, Buddy Ryan. I've been critical of whomever comes through the city as a head coach. In my opinion, the improvements that Chip Kelly has made, 16 new players on the roster, draft picks, the quarterback position is the most important, because Chip Kelly has the best quarterback the Eagles have had since Donovan McNabb. The question has never been Sam Bradford's talent. It's never been that. The popular opinion is, oh, well, Sam Bradford can't play. That comes from a lot of people that didn't watch him play in St. Louis. He can play. He just hasn't been healthy on a consistent basis. In seven games in 2013, he had 14 touchdowns, four interceptions. It was playing great before tearing his ACL. Then last year in the preseason, tore his ACL again. If Sam Bradford is healthy, this Eagles offense is going to be the best it's been in a very long time. Point blank period. The Eagles defense is going to be very good if Sam Bradford is healthy for 16 games. They added Sam Bradford. They added DeMarco Murray. They added Ryan Matthews. They drafted Nelson Aguilar. They will be very explosive. I do question, and my daughter just came in safely from school, alhamdulillah. I do question the guard position, because they have two new starters at the guard position after, you know, Todd Harriman's is gone. And the other guard from last year, I can't think of his name right now. He was actually one of my favorite players. Both of those guys are gone. Got two new starters at guard. Offensive line is very important. In football, you cannot play offensive football without having a good offensive line to start. They got Peters. They got Lane Johnson at the tackles. They got Jason Kelce. Peters is going to walk into the Hall of Fame one day. Jason Kelce is one of the best centers in the NFL. Lane Johnson is on his way to possibly being a Pro Bowl player or possibly an All-Pro player. Can the left and right guard hold up all season? That's going to be the key, because quarterbacks can deal from pressure off the edge because you can step up. But when that pressure comes up the middle, that becomes an issue. That's when the quarterbacks get nervous and they don't want to step into their throws. The pocket gets dirty. Passes become inaccurate. Quarterbacks throw a little bit too quickly, and then the turnovers come. Also, those interior linemen have to open up holes versus, you know, in the run game as well for DeMarco Murray, Darren Sproles, and Ryan Matthews. So I question the guard position with Gardner, Tobin, Allen Barbre. You know, those guys, they're going to have to prove, and this is the first time for those guys getting significant playing time, being a consistent starter. The Eagles just gave Gardner a contract, so they believe in him. He's going to have to go out there on the football field and prove that he's worth the contract that they given him, and he's worth winning that starting job. But in my opinion, the Eagles, the improvement offensively, you know, signing Byron Maxwell, you know, EJ Biggers, like the defensive backfield, Walter Thurman III is in as safety. And I think his signing is very big because not only can he play free safety and he's looked decent doing it in the preseason, but he has experience in this league playing the nickel corner inside at a very high level. And in the Eagles defense, they want their safeties to be versatile. They want both of their safeties to be able to cover man to man at times. And you got two safeties in Jenkins and Thurman that have played cornerback in this league before becoming a safety. So that's very key. Out is Trent Cole, off to the Indianapolis Colts. Now Brandon Graham, who had finally had a productive year last year, earned himself a contract. Now he's the starter. Last year, it was a very solid rotation at outside linebacker for the Eagles. Connor Barwin was a flat-out stud last year. You had Trent Cole. Brandon Graham was that third outside linebacker and had six sacks coming off the bench, being that third guy playing a small percentage of the snaps. I think he played 40% of the snaps last year. Now, who's going to be that third outside linebacker for the Eagles this year? Marcus Smith gave the Eagles nothing last year. He was dog poop last year, let's be honest. He was a first-round pick and gave the Eagles nothing last year, nothing at all. Marcus Smith missed the majority of the preseason because of an injury. Is Marcus Smith going to be able to get him something? If not, the great thing about the Eagles is they signed Brad Jones, veteran linebacker from the Green Bay Packers, who has experience in the 3-4 defense, playing inside linebacker and outside linebacker. So if Marcus Smith stinks it up again, Brad Jones can be that third guy. They've also been working Vinny Curry, who I thought from the beginning when he came out of Marshall could have been an outside linebacker in a 3-4, a guy that had 9 sacks last year in less than 40% of the snaps as a pass rusher. Vinny Curry is going to work inside at defensive tackle on rush situations, and now they're working him as an outside linebacker as well. So the Eagles have some versatility. They have some options. They added Kiko Alonso to play alongside Michael Kendricks. Now you got two inside linebackers that are three-down players, guys that are athletic, can make tackles in space, which is very important in today's NFL, can stop the run. Both are very good A-gap blitzers, which is the gap between the center and guard. And both can play zone man-to-man. You got two athletic guys. DeMeco Ryans has had a very decent NFL career. This is second time tearing Achilles in 4 years. He's up in age. He's 32 years old, if I'm not mistaken. Got a lot of wear and tear on him. He can't be depended upon. That's the reason why the Eagles were willing to trade Shady McCoy to Buffalo and get a guy like Kiko Alonso in return. The question about Kiko Alonso, again, is health. Coming off a torn ACL, missed all of last year, had a ridiculously good rookie year in 2013. In this camp, he's dealt with nagging knee injuries, a concussion. Can Kiko Alonso be depended upon to be there for 16 games? The Eagles also drafted Jordan Hicks, inside linebacker from Texas, who's a talented player, but during his career at Texas, he dealt with a lot of injuries as well. So, in my opinion, the Eagles have improved defensively. The defensive backfield, Byron Maxwell, Nolan Carroll was actually going to get a chance to be a press man corner like he did at Miami. He's going to be the starter. Nolan Carroll also said the other day that he worked inside at nickel as well. The Eagles have EJ Biggers, Denzel Rice, the rookie Eric Rowe. Rowe is a project player at corner. He only played 1 year corner at Utah. The prior 3 years, he was a starter at safety, which I graded him out as a better free safety than a cornerback. Ja'Cory Shepherd had the inside track of being the starter at that nickel position. Kid they drafted in the 6th round out of Kansas, who really was a 4th round talent, who didn't go as early because he ran slow 40s because of a hamstring issue. But he tore his ACL in camp, so he's done for the year. The Eagles last year gave up 84 plays of 20 plus yards or more. I think they gave up 19 or 20 or 21 plays of 40 plus plays. The Eagles simply can't do it. In order to win in this league, you got to be able to convert third downs offensively, get off the field on third downs. You got to be able to run the ball. You got to be able to stop the run. You got to be able to protect the quarterback and get after the other team's quarterback. It's simple things that if you can do, you'll have success. The Eagles defensively cannot, I repeat, cannot give up the big plays that they gave up last year. If they do, then they won't be successful. The Eagles last year weren't good enough in the red zone. They have to be better in the red zone. They have to convert third downs. I know they run a fast-paced offense, but if you're converting third downs, then you're spending time on the field. Chip Kelly, in my opinion, has a style of play. In my opinion, do I feel as though that he needs to slow it down at times? Yes, because over a 16-game season, your defense can wear down by playing too many plays. The Eagles' defense played the most plays in the NFL last year. You got to, in order to that, the for that to continue, your defense got to be better on third downs, and also you got to have more depth. Point blank, period. But in my opinion, I got the Eagles going 12-4. I think they win the division. I got the Cowboys coming in at 10-6. The Cowboys are a playoff team, in my opinion. I believe the Eagles are slightly better because I think the Eagles are a better defensive team. A lot of people had this notion that anybody can run behind the Cowboys' offensive line. Joseph Randle is a talented football player. Believe it. When he came out of Oklahoma State, I was a big fan of his, and I still am now. Joseph Randle now has the chance to prove that he's worthy of that job. They have Darren McFadden, who we've known hasn't lived up to what we thought he would be as a football player. Coming out of Arkansas, he's been injured a lot. They still got Tony Romo. They still got arguably the best offensive line in the league. Lyle Collins, who was a top 15 talent, they ended up getting. They have him on the offensive line. They have Dez Bryant, who is a flat-out stud, a flat-out beast, who's one of the top 5 to 10 players in the league, hands down, point blank, period. Philadelphia fans don't like to give him credit, but Dez Bryant is a beast, point blank, period. So I think the Cowboys at 10-6 get in. The Giants, a 6-10 team, they can do one thing very well. They can pass the ball. I'm not a fan of their offensive line. They don't run the ball well, and I don't like their defense. The Washington football team, because I refuse to call them that other disrespectful name, I got them coming in at 4-12. They are a train wreck. RG3 is injured again, concussion. The coach doesn't want him there. They think Kirk Cousins is Joe Montana. Colt McCoy, they flat out suck. They drafted Brandon Scherff in the top 10. You don't draft a guard in the top 10. Point blank, period. The guy's too slow and unathletic to play tackle. They drafted him. They bumped him inside the guard. He struggled in the preseason. Washington can have the ability to run the football because Scherff, Morgan Moses, Trent Williams, who's a stud, they'll be able to run the football, but can they pass protect? Trent Williams is a good left tackle. He's a stud. Morgan Moses, Brandon Scherff have questions in pass protection. The quarterback position, which is the most important position in all of sports, is a question mark. RG3 hasn't played well since tearing his ACL as a rookie. Kirk Cousins has proven in his time on the field that he's a turnover machine, and Colt McCoy stinks. So I got Washington going 4-12 and finishing at the bottom of the NFC East and the bottom of the NFL, period, and they'll be in the position to have another top three pick. Let's go over to the NFC North. I had the Packers going 10-6, the Vikings going 9-7, Lions 8-8, Bears 4-12. The Bears, Jay Cutler, look, I've defended Jay Cutler over the years. I'm not going to defend him now. They are in the rebuilding phase. John Fox is there. They do have Matt Forte. But at the end of the day, Cutler turns the football over. He's not the greatest leader. The defense is in shambles. They go into the 3-4 this year. I don't know how quickly they can become a better defensive team, but I just don't trust Jay Cutler. They drafted Kevin White. He's out for the year. They still have Alshon Jeffrey, Martellus Bennett. On paper, they have weapons. But on paper, you don't win the games on paper. You win the games on the field. So I got them 4-12. The Lions, solid team. Matthew Stafford, can he be consistent on a weekly basis? Megatron is back. He wasn't healthy last year. Golden Tate had a hell of a year last year. They drafted Amir Abdullah. They got a lot of – this is another team on paper. The skill positions offensively, what they have, they're deep at the skill positions. Offensive line, they've drafted offensive linemen. They drafted Larry Warford. They drafted Lakin Tomlinson. They got Mike Williams, who was a tight end at Alabama, who I said 3 years ago when he was a tight end that I would make him a tackle. He's a right tackle for them. I got them going 8-8. This schedule is tough. The division is tougher. The Vikings are a better team this year. Teddy Bridgewater in year two, who was the best quarterback in last year's draft, who I still don't understand why he wasn't the first quarterback taken. Bridgewater, Zimmer in year two, Adrian Peterson back with a vengeance, with something to prove. That defense better. The Vikings 9-7 this year. The Packers still have Aaron Rodgers. They did lose Jordy Nelson. Offensively, they'll be fine. Eddie Lacy, they'll be able to run the ball. I'm not a big fan of their left tackle. Defensively, they're going to have some issues, but they're going to be able to score enough points to at least win 10 games, in my opinion. So I got the Packers 10-6, Vikings 9-7, Lions 8-8, Bears 4-12. Let's go to the NFC South. The Saints I got going 11-5. I think they have a bounce back year. Mark Ingram, the feature back. They get back to have even they've been known as a team to be able to pass the football well, but I think they go back to having some smash mouth and having some balance with Mark Ingram. They don't have Jimmy Graham anymore. They traded him, but they were able to get a starting center in return and Unger for him. Rob Ryan, another year with them defensively. Jordan Cameron is one of the better two-way defensive linemen in this league. They added Brandon Browner. The Saints I got going 11-5 in that division. The Falcons I got coming in at 8-8. They can score points, but defensively I'm not sold on them. And their offensive line is still an issue. They were an issue last year. They're an issue now. And they didn't run the ball well in the preseason. That starting offensive line didn't open up holes. They got Tevin Coleman. They have Devontae Freeman. You know, they have two of my favorite running backs in the past two drafts, but a running back can only do so much. The offensive line has to have the ability to open up holes, and I don't like the offensive line that much. We'll see if they improve defensively, but I got the Falcons going 8-8 this year. The Panthers, they lose Kelvin Benjamin. They have Cam Newton, who's an elite talent. Has the offensive line gotten better? Can they do more than just run the football? Defensively, I think they're very solid, but I don't think they're going to have the ability to score enough points. The loss of Kelvin Benjamin was big because he's a legit number one wide receiver. They do have Greg Olsen, Jonathan Stewart. They drafted Cameron Artis Payne. And in my opinion, before this year is out, Cameron Artis Payne will end up getting a majority of the carries for the Carolina Panthers. But I got them going 6-10. I just don't think they have enough offensively. I'm not sold on that offensive line as far as pass protection. Cam Newton will have to have an elite MVP-type year for them to have a winning record this year, in my opinion. That's just, you know, my opinion. The Buccaneers, I got them going 6-10. They drafted Jameis Winston, best quarterback in the draft. They have him, but their offensive line is young and inexperienced. I think they're going to have some issues with their offensive line. The defense should be a bit better, but I don't think they'll be able to score enough points on a consistent basis. On top of Jameis Winston, yes, was the best quarterback in that draft, but quarterbacks have growing pains coming into the NFL. He played in a pro-style system, but even still, I believe he's going to struggle this year. That's just part of it. Even Andrew Luck struggled. Let's not forget about the rookie year that John Elway had. You know what I mean? So it happens. Let's go to the NFC West. Seahawks coming in at 10-6. They added Jimmy Graham. The defense is still there. Cam Chancellor will not be playing this weekend. He's holding out. He wants something done with his contract. That's what happens when you have success. You know, the good players on the team want to get paid more because you've had success. They've won a Super Bowl. They've been to the Super Bowl last year. Another one. They should have won two in a row. They have a possibility of going back to a third this year, in my opinion. They can run the ball. They can stop the run. They got a quarterback in Russell Wilson who doesn't get enough credit for the type of football player that he is. You know, this notion that he is a product of the system is complete BS. It's coming from a lot of people that don't know football, who don't actually watch the film and see what this guy does. Point blank period. I'll never make the mistake of judging a quarterback when scouting him coming out of college because of height, because I had other quarterbacks ahead of him because of the height. I won't make that mistake again because Russell Wilson showed it that during his time at NC State and then his last year at Wisconsin, what kind of quarterback he was, how good he saw the field, how he can threaten all three levels of the field with accuracy and anticipation. Russell Wilson is a top-notch player, and he alone will be the reason why the Seahawks win this division. And it's a tough division. I got the Cardinals going 9-7. Carson Palmer, they were rolling last year before he got hurt, and he's been hurt a lot. Can he stay on the field? Can they run the ball? Last year, they were horrible running the football. All they could do was pass last year, and teams would tee off on them. Bobby Massey is suspended coming into this year. He's supposed to be their starting right tackle. Can they protect the quarterback? Defensively, they're fine. They can stop the run. They can rush the passer. Defensively, they're fine. But can they run the ball this year and protect the quarterback? They drafted David Johnson out of Northern Iowa. In my opinion, I like Andre Ellington. He's a decent player. They drafted Chris Johnson, who, in my opinion, has little to nothing left. David Johnson, before it's all said and done, will end up being their starting running back and be an impact player. I like him. He's 6'1", 230 pounds. He can catch the ball very well. I do want to see him drop those pads and run with a little bit more authority. This ain't Northern Iowa. You run high in the NFL, you will get your head knocked off. The Rams. Everybody loves the Rams. Everybody's big on the Rams. For the past couple years, Rams, Rams, Rams. Well, now they got Nick Foles. They believe he's the answer. He's the answer for them. We've seen how Nick Foles regressed last year. For the Rams, their formula, they're going to try to run the ball, which is fine. Can they stop the run? Everybody talk about their defense, but everybody seems to forget that they stunk last year stopping a run. Aaron Donald had a big year as a rookie as far as sacks, but they weren't good stopping a run. Teams ran at the Rams on a consistent basis. This year, can they run the ball, stop the run? They drafted Todd Gurley. When will he be ready? They have Trey Mason. They drafted him last year. Kenny Britt is on the team. Jared Cook. They're dependent on Nick Foles. And Nick Foles, he's played at a decent level in this league already. He's shown the ability to play at that level. Was that a facade? Was my third-round draft grade on him, was it wrong? We'll find out this year because the Rams are depending on Nick Foles being their guy. But I got them going 7-9. I just don't think they're good enough to take that step. And that division is tough. The 49ers, Colin Kaepernick, went from Ron Jaworski saying he got an opportunity to be the best quarterback of all time to him being to him stinking. The zone read was taken away. The 49ers offense has flopped ever since. And you know the reason why? It ain't the wide receivers, because Crabtree, Bolton, Vernon Davis was getting open. You know the reason why they stink? Because Colin Kaepernick can't see the field. Point blank period. If the first read ain't open, he can't get to the second, third, or fourth. That's the reason why the 49ers have 11 this year. Because unless Colin Kaepernick, all of a sudden he worked with Kurt Warner, unless he's taking Kurt Warner's brain and his vision and his ability to read the field and process information, why should I believe that all of a sudden he's going to become Peyton Manning from the pocket? Colin Kaepernick got sacked the most in the NFL last year. You know why? Because he can't process the information. He don't know where to go with the football. They confused him. They made him stay in the pocket. Navarro Bowman is back. He'll probably be the comeback player of the year. I'll tell you that right now. But Navarro Bowman ain't going to be enough to make this team a winning team. They go 5-11 this year. We get to the playoffs. The six teams I had making the playoffs: Eagles, Saints, Seahawks, Packers, Cowboys, Vikings. The wild card round, number 3 seed versus 6 seed, Seahawks versus the Vikings. I got the Seahawks beating the Vikings. I got the 5 seed Cowboys upsetting the Packers this year, making it to the divisional round. In the divisional round, the number 1 seed Eagles will play the Cowboys for the third time this year. I had them splitting during the season, but the Eagles will win this home playoff game and make it to the NFC title game in Chip Kelly's third season. I got the Seahawks beating the Saints on the road, and I got the Seahawks beating the Philadelphia Eagles at Lincoln Financial Field to make it to the Super Bowl. Look, I think the Eagles have improved. I think they make it to the NFC title game, but I don't think they're there just yet. I think they make it to the NFC title game, but I got the Seattle Seahawks beating them this year. Eagles fans may be upset, but think about it. The Eagles didn't win the division last year. They didn't make the playoffs. They regressed from the prior year until now. In the AFC, the Deflategate thing is all over with. ESPN, you know, came out with the article. All the stuff that happened with Deflategate. Two things I'll tell you right off the bat. One, I lost respect for the success that the Patriots and Bill Belichick had. Anybody that's going to come with me with the excuse that, oh, well, everybody cheats, everybody has done it. So if you get locked up for murder, you want to tell the judge that, oh, well, I murdered this person because everybody else has murdered other people. Don't work that way, beloved. It don't work that way. But even with that said, they won the Super Bowl last year, and they won it fairly. The Patriots in the AFC East, I got them going 11-5. Tom Brady is still at the helm. He's still playing a high level. Healthy Rob Gronkowski. Decent offensive line. Their willingness to run the ball and pass the ball. And then defensively, without Brandon Browner and Revis Island, we'll see how they are defensively. Two new deep cornerbacks they're starting. But I think they're decent enough defensively to be in the middle of a pack, somewhere, you know, 14th, 15th, 16th best defense. That'd be enough for them to win this division at 11-5. The Miami Dolphins, I'm very high on. I think Ryan Tannehill takes another step. I think he has a very good year this year. I like what they have defensively. That front four can get after it. They can stop the run. They can get after the quarterback, which is huge in this division. You want to be able to get after Tom Brady, Lamar Miller, his ability to run the ball, catch the ball, Jarvis Landry, defensively. Like, I like the Dolphins this year. I think they make the playoffs this year. I had them going 10-6. The Buffalo Bills, Rex Ryan is in. We know that they're great defensively. Defensively, they have everything that you want across the board. The best front four in football. Jerry Hughes, Kyle Williams, Marcel Darius, Mario Williams, all of them had, if I'm not mistaken, double-digit sacks or 3 out of the 4. They can stop the run. They can get after the quarterback. They have defensive backs. Now they have Rex Ryan. Defensively, they'll be fine. They have a decent offensive line. They drafted well with that offensive line. Centrell Henderson, who they got in the seventh round, was a starter from day one for them last year and played at a decent level. They'll be able to run the ball. LeSean McCoy is there. The quarterback position is the question. Tyrod Taylor, for the first time as a starter, he won that job fair and square during the preseason. His ability to make plays with his legs when it's not something there is something that I like. He has a decent arm. We'll see. This is first time starting, so we don't really know what we're going to see from Tyrod Taylor on a weekly basis. Teams are probably going to make him stay in the pocket and try to win from the pocket. So we're going to see, you know, what they're about. But I got the Buffalo Bills going 8-8. The Jets, I like Ty Bowles as a coach. The fact that Geno Smith, I've never in my life, from little league, middle school, high school, college, and now in the pros, ever heard of the starting quarterback on any football team, anybody having the temerity to punch that guy, to put a hand on that guy. I wasn't a big Geno Smith fan as a pro prospect. He's proven me to be right. And the fact that a guy who was a borderline guy that didn't probably was going to get cut had the audacity to punch him in the face and wire his jaw tells you all I need to know about Geno Smith. He didn't want to get a guy $600? What? Look, part of being a football player, part of being a quarterback is being a leader of men. You don't disrespect other men. You end up getting punched in the face. The guy wanted his $600 back. You could have doubled it up and gave him $1,200. But no, instead, you want to mouth off and disrespect that man. And that man, and I'm not saying that he's right, but in a lot of places where we grew up at and where we from, people that's watching and listening to the show, if you disrespect another man, that man's going to put his hands on you. You put your hands, they said Geno Smith put his hands in that man's face. You invaded that man's private space, and you got knocked out. You got your jaw wired. And Ryan Fitzpatrick stinks. He stinks. Most likely, Geno Smith will get another chance to play this season. This would be his final chance to prove that he's going to be the quarterback for the Jets because they drafted Bryce Petty from Baylor, and he's not ready to play day one, but he's going to be learning on the job, and he'll be given the opportunity next year heading into that season to play. Bryce Petty may get a chance to play the last four or five games this year for all we know, but Geno Smith, probably this is probably his last year as a Jet. He'll get another opportunity somewhere else, but I never bought into Geno Smith as a starting quarterback, a high-level quarterback, even a first round pick. You got to be able to decipher those systems in college and then coming to the pros. I'll tell you flat out, point blank, period. When scouting any quarterback, if that quarterback cannot play under pressure, under duress, in the dirty pocket, then he won't play for me. He can't play for me because in the NFL, that's what stopping an offense that passes the ball. It's all around. It's all around getting to the quarterback. It's all about blitzing the quarterback, rushing that guy, getting him off his spot, forcing him to be errant, forcing him to make bad decisions, forcing that quarterback to make mistakes. That's what it's all about. If you cannot play under duress at the quarterback position, you are not a starting NFL quarterback. You can't play quarterback for me at any level. From the 55 pounds up until NFL QB play, you can't do it. You won't do it. That's the reason why Christian Hackenberg got physical tools. He's not a good leader. He throws his teammates under the bus. He never takes blame for anything. They lost to Temple last week. And that's not saying Temple isn't a good football team, because Temple got some talent. Al Golden recruited well. Their current quarterback, Matt Rule, they got some talent there. Matakevich is going to be an NFL player. Number nine, the defensive end, is going to be a 5-technique, 3-4 defensive end in the NFL. But, and Penn State offensive line isn't that good, and that's why they're going to be in trouble in the Big Ten this year. But the quarterback's job is to know where to go with the football and get rid of it quickly, to be able to stare down pressure and not look at the defensive lineman coming, but keep his eyes down the field and make a pass. That's the quarterback's job. That's been Christian Hackenberg's issue. And these scouts who just want to stick and still have him as a first-round pick, you're a joke. Mel Kiper, ridiculous. McShay, ridiculous. Draft Twitter, you're ridiculous. I watched all of his tape from the first 2 years. He's a late third round, early fourth round pick at the best. Bad decision making, under duress, can't get the job done. When a pocket clean, of course he looks good. When things ain't clean, when it's dirty, not good enough. Point blank period. Let's go to the AFC North. I got the Ravens and Steelers coming in, both at 9-7. I had the Ravens going 4-2 in the division, so they get the division title. They both end up making the playoffs, though. The AFC North is a tough division. Ravens, Bengals, Steelers, Browns, all pretty good defensive teams. The Ravens and Steelers had the best quarterbacks in the division, so that sets them apart. Andy Dalton has proven throughout his career, puts up decent regular season numbers, can't get the job done in the playoffs. In my opinion, I wouldn't have gave him a contract extension last year. I would have made him play out the season. Marvin Lewis should have been fired after the season before. Probably, in my opinion, should have been fired after last season. How long are they going to continue to go on with this? See, in Cincinnati, they're okay with going 8-8, 9-7. They're okay with being mediocre. In Philadelphia, that ish don't play. Marvin Lewis, his ass would have been out of there. Excuse my language. His behind would have been out of there after 5 or 6 years. But in Cincinnati, that's okay. The Cleveland Browns, quarterback situation is a mess. McCown stinks. Johnny Manziel, is he ready to take on the job? People asked me last year, shouldn't have been a first-round pick last year. He proved why he shouldn't have been. Now he's clean. Allegedly, he's sober. Is he into the playbook? Is he learning the plays? Does he understand what kind of work it takes to be an NFL starting quarterback? That's yet to be seen. But offensively, quarterback position is a mess. Running back position is okay. Isaiah Crowell is a very talented running back. They've given him the starting job. Defensively, they're solid. They can't stop the run well. They didn't last year. They drafted Danny Shelton. We'll see what kind of impact he has. But they're a 5-11 football team. Just not enough offensively, in my opinion, going into the season. They may prove me wrong, though. That's the beautiful thing about football. These are just predictions. Every year, there's surprise teams that go from the basement, and, you know, a team may have won 4 games last year, may win 8. A team may have won 5 last year, may win 9 or 10 and make the playoffs. That's the great thing about football. It's a lot of parity. Let's go to the AFC South, which in my opinion is the weakest division in the NFL. I got the Colts going 11-5. Andrew Luck, in my opinion, is the MVP this year. They added Andre Johnson, Frank Gore. They added some vets, Trent Cole, Ty Harriman. They believe that this could be the year for them to possibly, you know, win the AFC and make it to the Super Bowl. The Texans, I got them going 7-9. Bill O'Brien is a hell of a coach. He's the coach that I wanted the Eagles to hire. Don't have a quarterback as of yet. Ryan Mallett, Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer is a starter. Brian Hoyer, in my opinion, isn't good enough. Arian Foster, the best player, is injured right now. Now, no timetable on his return. Defensively, they're solid, but they're a 7-win team because of the quarterback. quarterback position isn't good enough as of yet, even with O'Brien being a hell of a coach, not good enough yet to make it to the playoffs. The Jaguars, I got them going 5-11. I think Blake Bortles has a better year than last year. The offensive line is an issue. Can't play offense on a consistent basis without a good offensive line. They don't run block well. They don't pass protect well. Luke Jokel has been a disappointment thus far in his career. We'll see if he gets better this year, but the offensive line isn't good enough. Gus Bradley is still in the process of getting his type guy. I think they improved defensively, but I still think they're 5-11 team. The Titans drafted Mariota. They'll go 3-13 this year. As of right now, again with them, if you noticed, all the teams that aren't going to be so good, they have issues running the ball or protecting the quarterback, offensive line type issues. Dick LeBeau is in. They're going to the 3-4. We'll see how that works out. But I got the Titans going 3-13. They have a tough schedule this year. Mariota will have some decent spots. He'll have a big transition period this year going from that Oregon offense to being a pro quarterback. The AFC West, which in my opinion is one of the best divisions in football, and the Raiders will be improved. I got them going 6-10 this year. I like Jack Del Rio. I like that he's finally – the guy knows what Khalil Mack is, and he's allowing Khalil Mack to be Khalil Mack. Put him on the end of the line of scrimmage at defensive end and just let the guy attack the line of scrimmage. And in the preseason, we've seen what Khalil Mack was able to do. He could be in for a defensive player type of year season. Carr came in last year, Derek Carr, and had a decent rookie year. Played a lot better than I thought he would play. We'll see if they can give him a running game. They drafted Amari Cooper, a guy who's a day one starter, ready to come in and contribute right away. I got the Raiders going 6-10. They may be a year away from making a push to get into the playoffs. I have the Chargers and Chiefs both going 9-7, 3-3 inside the division. You know, they'll split with each other. I got them, you know, fighting out for second place. And then the Broncos, the addition of Gary Kubiak, in my opinion, is the biggest thing. Peyton Manning isn't what he was during the Indianapolis Colts years. Gradually, during his years with the Broncos, his arm talent and his level of play has gradually decreased. Besides what the numbers say, you can't go by the numbers. That's why we watch tape in this business. But Gary Kubiak likes to run the football. And if they're going to be a run-dominant team, if they can actually run the ball with success, that'll make things a lot more easier for Peyton Manning, a lot more easier for Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders get open. They lost Julius Thomas, who was a big part of their offense. We'll see if the Virgil Greens, you know, if those tight ends, Owen Daniels, if they can replace the production and the impact that Julius Thomas had. It's not always about actual raw numbers. When you watch the tape and you see the impact that Julius Thomas had on the middle of the field, even when he was split out wide or, you know, split out in the slot, it's not always about numbers. It's about impact as well. That's why you got to watch the film. So I got the Broncos going 11-5 and winning the division. My playoff teams are Patriots, Broncos, Colts, Dolphins, Ravens, and Steelers. In the wild card round, I got the number 6 seed Steelers upsetting the Colts. Colts go home first round this year. Steelers go to the divisional round. I got the number 5 Ravens upsetting the Dolphins, beating those guys. In the divisional round, I got the Broncos 2 seed over the Ravens. I got the Steelers upsetting the Patriots. And in the AFC title game, I got the Broncos going, beating the Steelers. So my Super Bowl this year is a rematch of the Super Bowl from 2 years ago, Super Bowl 48, the Super Bowl in which the Seahawks dominated the Denver Broncos, physically whipped them, beat them up, embarrassed them in the biggest game. The Broncos offensive line got whipped. The Broncos got whipped at the point of attack on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. But this year, in Gary Kubiak's first year as Broncos head coach, I have the Denver Broncos in Super Bowl 50, winning the Super Bowl, and Peyton Manning retiring with a Super Bowl win like John Elway and going off into the sunset. So remember this. Broncos Seahawks Super Bowl. Broncos win the Super Bowl. Peyton Manning retires, goes off into the sunset. Let's go to college football. Last week was the first week. Before we get to that, I want to give y'all my top five Heisman Trophy candidates. I got Trevon Boykin, quarterback TCU. Deshaun Watson, quarterback from Clemson. If he stays healthy, Clemson is a legit threat to possibly get to the college football playoff. Ezekiel Elliott, running back, Ohio State. Dory Jackson, wide receiver, defensive back, return guy, USC. And five, Connor Cook. Those are my top five guys, but it's a medley of guys that could possibly win this award. And this year, the four teams that I picked to make the college football playoff are Ohio State, Auburn, TCU, and UCLA. UCLA is a sleeper team. The kid Josh Rosen is a stud. He's as advertised. We'll see how he makes it through the Pac-12 South. But it's easy to go chalk, but I'm not going to go chalk. I picked UCLA to make the college football playoffs, and I picked UCLA to win a national title. They did lose Eddie Vandergold's stud defensive tackle, interior guy. He's done for the year with an ACL, but they got enough talent and depth. Jim Moore Jr. has done a great job recruiting, does a great job teaching these kids and preparing them for the next level. Another team not to look over is Notre Dame, because Notre Dame's schedule is elite. It's a tough schedule. If Notre Dame runs the table, or even if they lose one game, if Notre Dame loses one game and other teams lose, Notre Dame could possibly get into the college football playoff. And Malik Zaire was an elite 11 quarterback coming out of high school. Malik Zaire played very well last week. They got Virginia this week at Virginia. Malik Zaire can be the key to this season because they have offensive line play. They have defensive line play. Jalen Smith is going to be possibly a top 15 to 40 pick in this year's NFL draft. They have it all. They did lose their best running back last week for the season with an ACL. But Malik Zaire is good enough, converting first downs, third downs with his feet and his arm, keeping his offense on the field. Malik Zaire is good enough to possibly, if they run the table, they're in, because their schedule is murder. Let's go to this week's big games before we end the show. And this went very quick. I'm not going to hold y'all for long on a weekly basis. Probably 45 minutes to no more than an hour. Utah State at Utah. The return of Chucky Keaton at Utah. Utah is at home. They're at Devin Booker. It's a rivalry game, a game that I love watching. It's like watching King Germantown. It's like watching Ben Franklin versus Gratz, Manchin versus Ben Franklin. William Penn, you know, all those North Philly schools here in Philly. I got Utah beating Utah State, though. Devontae Booker is going to be a little too much. Number 11, Florida State has UCF, South Florida this week at Florida State. Another warm-up type game. Another opportunity to see the Florida State offense and defense get a little better. Another week to see Jalen Ramsey, who's back at cornerback. You know, get back acclimated to playing cornerback. Florida State wins that game. Oregon State at Michigan, neither team is ranked. But in my opinion, it's still a big game. Michigan didn't fare so well last week versus Utah. Jake Rudock turned the football over a couple times, missed a couple touchdowns, passes that should have went for touchdowns. Michigan is at the Big House. They're playing against Oregon State, a team that they should beat. Point blank, period. Michigan should win that game. Number 9, Notre Dame is at Virginia this week. Virginia lost to UCLA last week. Notre Dame is a clear-cut better team, in my opinion. I think they beat Virginia by at least two touchdowns. Number 10, Georgia at Vandy. Vandy lost last week to Western Kentucky. If I'm not mistaken, I believe so. Georgia's number 10 team, loaded at the running back position. Grayson Lambert, who actually was a quarterback at Virginia that they let go, is a starter at Georgia. Georgia is too much for Vanderbilt. Even though it's an SEC matchup, Vandy isn't good enough. I expect Georgia to win this game by at least 2 to 3 touchdowns. Fresno State is traveling to Ole Miss. Ole Miss should win this game handily. One of the bigger games of the week, these last three games are the three big games. Number 19, Oklahoma is going to Tennessee, who's the number 23 ranked team. We're going to find out if Tennessee is worth being in the top 25 because they're going to face an Oklahoma team that put up, you know, some points last week. They have a quarterback now that can actually throw the ball and get it out with accuracy. They got Samaje Perine, who's a flat-out stud at the running back position. We'll find out if Jalen Hurd and Dobbs and these guys, if they're real. If they pull out this win at home versus Oklahoma with convincing fashion, they're going to have me sold. Number 14, LSU, is at Mississippi State. Another top 25 matchup within the SEC. We're going to see what LSU is about because they're loaded at the skill position, offensive line, defensive line is fine. Is Brandon Harris good enough at the quarterback position to possibly take LSU to the next level? That's the question. If Brandon Harris isn't good enough, then LSU will struggle this year. Because the quarterback position last year, Anthony Jennings flat out stunk last year. He was a disgrace. He wasn't good enough. LSU, Brandon Harris, if he's good enough, don't be surprised if LSU could possibly win the SEC and end up in a college football playoff. And then Mississippi State isn't a slouch either. I mean, nobody's talking about Dak Prescott and Daronya Wilson. Both guys are going to be top, you know, they're going to be second, third, fourth round picks in this year's NFL draft. Dak Prescott is one of the best dual threats. He's a better passer from the pocket than people give him credit for. Let's see if Dak Prescott is good enough single-handedly along with Wilson to carry this Mississippi State offense. But that's going to be a good game. I like LSU in a close one on the road. I like Tennessee to win a close one as well. And then the game of the week, Oregon versus Michigan State. Last year, Michigan State was in the game, and last year they made a lot of simple mistakes and gave up quick touchdowns. This year is no Mariota. Vernon Adams is in. He got banged up a little bit at the end of last week's game. Michigan State is ranked number 5. Connor Cook is one of the best pro prospects in the country. Shalik Calhoun on the defensive side for Michigan State. Michigan State is at home this year. They should win this ball game. I like Michigan State to win a close one in the game of the week. People, I want to thank y'all for listening and watching this week's show. The link will be out. This is the Halal Sports Report 2015 NFL season preview. In week 2 of the college football, you know, preview show. You know, I want to thank everybody for their support. And remember, the Super Bowl this year, I got the Broncos over the Seahawks in Super Bowl 50 on a weekly basis. I'll be back. Make sure y'all follow me on Twitter at Brandon on Sports, Instagram at Brandon on Sports, Facebook.com/Brandon on Sports. And, you know, assalamu alaikum, wa rahmatu Allahi wa barakatu. I want to thank everybody for listening. May peace be upon you. And I'll holla at y'all the next time, inshallah.